Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out first who is in worship today. It's a very simple way that we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, if you wouldn't mind, take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask the last person, when you are done writing, send it back to where it got started. And then we ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. If you are the only person on your pew, you may feel a little schizophrenic because you are all those people. So thank you so much for being a part of worship and helping us with that. A few announcements we'll make. Reminder to our kids, we are having children's time today, so invite them to come down after the first hymn to meet with me for just a few moments. Also, several things listed there in your bulletin. We are having our Ash Wednesday service this coming Wednesday evening. It will be at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Please make note of that addition to the calendar. We have primary basketball. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. I do want to draw your attention to dinner and a show. It is next weekend. I say with great fear and trembling. It is next weekend. There are so many people that are working so hard to prepare an incredible event. All the proceeds for dinner and a show will go to our international mission trip this summer to Belize. Our high schoolers, our middle schoolers, their parents, so many adults are working with our teenagers to prepare an incredible show. Today is the last day for you to get tickets for $25. They go up to $30 tomorrow. We're just encouraging as many people to buy now as possible. We're close to a sellout, so make sure that you get your tickets today if you have any desire to come. We have spots both Saturday and Sunday night. They're about evenly sold between the two events. So it's just an incredible meal. It's an incredible show. We will transform Smith Hall. The decoration committee is working hard, the meal team, the show team, the tech team, the tickets. Lots of people working hard to make dinner and a show just a big success. So we look forward to that next weekend. Let me see. Any other announcements? I think we're good. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We thank you so much for giving us your information on the pew pad. We have ushers that would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you so very much for being part of worship this day. This past Wednesday night, there was a unplanned power outage. Key word being unplanned. Mary did not go down the street and blow up a transformer so we wouldn't have to have Wednesday night. It was an unplanned thing. And we were sweating it for a little while about, do we call off Wednesday night? Do we not call off Wednesday night? And then when the time came when the food was not going to make it, we knew we couldn't have Wednesday night if there was no food. And so we had to make the call, and we had to get up the telephone system and get out the emails and call WXII. It was like a snow day around here, right? But I was reminded how important food really is in our lives. The bread of life that is Jesus. How important he is to the body of Christ. Without food, we cannot survive. The truth of the matter is, without Jesus, we can't survive. Without Him daily being taken inside of us, we cannot survive. This morning, are you ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and how He wants to challenge and change us today? That's why we come to worship, to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ, to lift Him up and to receive His nourishment, to receive the gift of Himself. That's why we come to worship. Let us pray together. Father, we know what a gift that Jesus is. Without the sacrifice of His body and His blood, we would have no way to come to You. And so, Father, we say thank You for the gift that is Jesus. We thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And we pray that You would speak directly to us, and that those distractions that may be around, those things that may keep us from focusing on You during this time, remove them, we pray. May we have ears to hear and hearts willing to change. Be in this place, we pray, and change us like only You can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My God and me, the triumphs of His.
Okay, it's good to see everybody this morning. I see something in front of me I never would have guessed in a million years. Rebecca, are you wearing Carolina Panthers colors? It was accidental. Oh, it was accidental. Rebecca, stand up for me, sweetheart. Your daddy's a Green Bay Packers fan, right? Would y'all please look at the colors that are on this little girl? Go up on the step. Go up on the step. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. I'll pay for that later. All right. Now, I like, and look, we got a Luke Kuechly up here. Look at here. I didn't even see that Luke Kuechly. Yeah. There you go. Very good. All right. Boo. Were there some boos? Luke. Okay. Oh, that's better. That's much better. We don't boo Luke Kuechly around here. All right. Now, I sometimes ask some funny questions of God, right? Sometimes we say some funny things. Well, I want to read you some funny things and some funny questions that some kids wrote to God, okay? Well, y'all just kind of got your listening ears on. Y'all can listen in. These are pretty good. These are some things that some kids wrote to God, some suggestions or maybe some questions. First one, dear God, see if y'all agree with this. Please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There is nothing good in there now. That's a pretty good one. Oh, this is a good one. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. That's a good one. Oh, this is a good one. Dear God, good question. Are you a ninja? Is that why I can't see you? All right. I'm a hit. Okay, all right. Let me see. Oh, see if you agree with this one. Dear God, please change the taste of asparagus. Is that a good one? It's grass. Thanks. All right. Now here's one that's really, really important. Are you ready for this one? This is not so much funny, but I want you to think about this question. Not so funny, but it's an important question. Are you ready to listen? Instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now? Right? Sometimes, are you listening? Sometimes, there are some questions we just don't know the answer to, right? There are just some questions we don't know the answers to, but we ask them anyway. There are things that confuse us about things that happen in the world. Am I right? But you know what? Here's what I want you to never, ever forget. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, here's what I want you to never forget. Never question. Everybody looking at me? Never question. God loves you. Never question. God loves you. And that He is right here beside you. I don't want you to ever question that. But sometimes we do. God, where are you? Pastor Raymond is going to talk about some of the questions that sometimes we have. But the fact that God has never, ever left. That's a great answer to some of the questions that we feel. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for listening to our questions. Sometimes they're silly. Most of the time, they're just honest about questions about how should we treat people? Should we always tell the truth? Should we be kind? Even when people don't deserve it. You remind us the answer to all of our questions is to trust you and to be like Jesus every day. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to your seats. Good job.
Yeah, Jeff is right. He's going to pay for that Green Bay Packer thing. Jeff's a good-sized boy, but Jamie's bigger. Yeah. there are moments in our family's lives that are very significant. And Krista has one of those moments today. It's the reason she's not able to be with us. She texted me yesterday and said that her nephew, who they thought was going to be baptized next Sunday, is going to be baptized today. And wanted to know if she could go. I said, certainly. Certainly. And so she's not able to be with us today. But I wanted you to know that that's a high moment in their family life with their nephew being baptized. So we will miss her, but we certainly want to pray for her as she travels and pray for their family as they celebrate this wonderful occasion. In our readings today, we are reading a passage which is a complimentary lectionary passage. It's one of the epistle writings. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this, "Therefore, since we have such a hope," and you can go back and read prior to this where Paul is describing the nature of that hope. He says, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." May God bless the reading and comprehension of his holy word. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you that your word is boldly proclaimed. Father, we thank you that your word has the answers to our many questions, maybe not spelled out word for word, but certainly in principle, and certainly in the personality of how you have revealed yourself to us through your word, through your people, through your son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for this time where we can worship together. And we also pray that as believers all around the world gather on their day of worship, whether it be Sunday or when it may be during the course of the week, that you would bless the reading of your word and the gathering of your people and the worship of your people. We pray that our worship would be pleasing to you. Father, when we pray that those who have come into this place with troubled hearts, with things that are bothering them, things that preoccupy their mind, things that damage their health because they're stressed out over it. Father, we pray that you would touch them now. Let us know that you are real and that you care about everything that troubles us. God, we love you. Sometimes our actions and our words don't show it. But Father, listen to our hearts as we lift them up to you in praise and thanksgiving. Father, we pray especially for Krista and Ken as they're away. At this glorious occasion, their nephew and their family, and as they celebrate together this wonderful time, we pray that you would keep them safe and bring them safely home to us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, words are not sufficient to thank you. You've loved us from the beginning. You want us to love you. You've pursued us relentlessly. You've reached out to us in so many ways, and you continue to give us chance upon chance to come to you and to have a relationship with you, to love you, to serve you. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you for the incredible blessings that you give us. And I thank you for all that we have to offer you in terms of our time, our resources, our talents. And as we give today, Lord, a portion, I ask that you show us how to use these to love other people and to serve you and to give them a glimpse of you and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
course. Man. We had a wonderful service and recreation this morning. It was the 6th anniversary of that service. Time flies, doesn't it? 6th anniversary of that service, and I am truly thankful to you as a congregation that you continue to provide the resources for both services to continue on. We'll be combined next week, and that should be a great service here together in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock. But we had a good time in there, and I wanted to offer a word of thanksgiving about that. We are going to talk about coming down from the mountain. Coming down from the mountain, and the passage will be from Luke chapter 9. And as I prepared this week, I brought some visual aids to show you. I mentioned last week Charles Talbert's book, Reading Luke. This is what it looks like if you can find the first edition. This is what it looks like if you get the revised edition. And the revised edition is available through Smith and Helwes Publishing, so that'll offer you an opportunity there. Perspective on Luke Acts, which I mentioned last week. I had forgot until I went back this week and was reading some of it. For those of you who know Fred Horton, he's still locally and here local, and he contributed to that commentary. So if you can pick up a copy of that, it's well worth a read as well. Also, am grateful to Jim Page, Pastor Jim Page, for his comments and his thoughts on this particular passage of Scripture that we'll read in just a moment. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful music that offers praise and thanksgiving to you. Thank you for the talents of those who practice, rehearse, and prepare for leadership and worship. Father, help us never to take each other for granted, but truly be thankful for how different people use different talents and gifts offered up to you in worship. Now, as we begin a time of study, we pray that you would be with us, that you would open our hearts and minds, allow us to learn, and take that learning and apply it to our lives this week, that our lives would be more pleasing to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Everything has a beginning. If you think about it, everything has a beginning. Your marriage had a beginning, right? Your job as parent had a beginning, right? Your job as grandparents had a beginning, right? Your career had a beginning. Everything has a beginning. And as I thought about this passage of Scripture, which we'll read in just a moment, I thought faith has a beginning too. Our faith has a beginning. For most of us, it probably began in our childhood. Typical scenario is if you were raised in church, you know, you probably went to Vacation Bible School one year and faith kind of had a beginning there. Maybe your faith had a beginning in RAs or GAs or Mission Friends or Training Union, as the old title was. Or maybe it was Thursday night at youth camp, you know, when faith began to bud within you. Maybe your parents read to you. Maybe they read God's Word to you and talked about the stories in the Bible. And they prayed with you. I truly hope that's the case. Wonderful parents, you know, that we're thankful for that. But regardless of how, when, and by whom, in that time of the beginning of your faith, there were foundational blocks that were placed in place that were the beginning to help you build your faith over the years. To be honest and open, going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evenings was something my family did every week. Every week. And typical of any child, I would question why we had to go every week. I'm feeling y'all back here. I have some kindred spirits in the choir. It's though I was like an attorney pleading my case with the evidence on hand. I'd say things like, well, you know, it's 5 days after Groundhog Day. I bet they don't have church today. You know, maybe that's it, Mom. Or I just really don't feel good. I really don't feel good. Maybe next week, which the response would be, you'll feel better when you get to church. Come on, let's go. Or what will happen, Mom? What will happen, Dad? What will happen if we miss one Sunday? Is God going to get mad at us? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? And to all of my pleas in this kind of figurative courtroom setting, my mother and father would simply and patiently say, "We're going. It's what, yeah, get in the car." Yeah, it's going. We're going. It's what we do. And I knew at that point, case closed. For those of you who know my parents, you know that would be the case. But yeah, case closed. No more discussion. Now, there were rare exceptions. I have to say, there were rare exceptions. It was those Sunday evenings where they would come and surprise us by taking us out of training union about 10 minutes early. Training union was that animal we used to call discipleship training, okay? Many of you are shaking your head. You remember training union, okay? They would take us out about 10 minutes early, and we would go home. We didn't have to stay for big church. We would go home, and the reason we got to go home is because of the latest Charlie Brown special, right? The latest Charlie Brown special. And so there were rare exceptions to it. But the rule otherwise was that we went to church. That's what we do. And the point that I'm trying to make is that for many of us, childhood faith began when we were placed in the environment where we could learn the stories of the faith, where we could learn about Adam and Eve, how they messed up, you know, where we could learn about Noah, and even though he's a hero of the faith, he had his issues too. We could learn about the disciples. We could learn about Jesus. And from those stories, we learn that God is good. God punishes evil, rewards good. God answers prayers many times in ways that we didn't want or couldn't have imagined. But he does answer them. You see, in those times, in those early formation years, childhood faith simple and exciting. It's simple and exciting. For concrete thinkers, it's simple and exciting. And then life happens. Life happens. You grew up, or at least you got older. I guess growing up is optional. You get older, and the experiences of life and questions about God sometimes can chip away on those foundational building blocks. You have questions of God, things like, if God is good, why did that disaster happen? Y'all have heard that one, right? For non-believers, that's one of the biggies. Well, if your God's such a good God and loves us and blah, 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 why do we have tornadoes and earthquakes? I mean, you've heard that. Now, God, I still can't get a job, and that deadbeat dad over there was applying for the same job. Why did he get the job? I'm a lot better person than he is. Why did he get that kind of job? Or here's one. You know, I prayed to you, God. I prayed to you. I prayed earnestly. I prayed in accordance with your word. I prayed honestly and openly, but the cancer did not leave, and now my friend slash dad slash spouse is dead. Why? You see, life experiences make childhood faith seem too simple, irrelevant. But is it really? Is it really? I think everyone at some time, all of us, if we're honest, we struggle with faith amid the challenges of life. And when we're struggling, yes, God is there. Jeff was spot on. Never question that. God is there, but sometimes when we struggle the most, it's not just God that's there, it's God's people that are there. Amen? It's brothers and sisters in Christ, it's special family members that are there to carry us until our feet get back under us. And in those times, we understand that faith is not as simple, perhaps, as we thought, but it's just as strong and it's just as exciting as we learned. The Bible describes a lot of people who struggle with having relevant faith amid all the realities, amid all the tragedies of life. One man in particular that's kind of the epitome of this dilemma is a guy named Peter. And we've laughed with, we've laughed sometimes at Peter, you know, as we talk about kind of his personality, very bombastic, very, very spontaneous. And Luke tells us that one day Jesus took Peter and James and John and they went up on a mountain to pray. And as Jesus prayed, his appearance changed. His clothes became dazzling white. And if that wasn't startling enough, Moses and Elijah show up. And they appeared in all glory and they were talking to Jesus. It's a crazy passage of Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 9. I want you to join me in reading it. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. If you have your Bible, you can read along. Or if you didn't bring yours, there should be a pew Bible there. Close to you. It begins, our lectionary reading begins in verse 28, which you will recognize as what we call the Transfiguration passage. Verse 28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, now you got to go back to verse 18 and following to know what he's talking about after Jesus said this, after he said what? Well, in the verses preceding, there's the confessional part. Right? Who do you say I am? Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? And then a teaching that follows that. So that's what they're referring to. After Jesus had said that, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about what? His departure, which was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. I think that's a key phrase right there. Were they just chatting? No, they were talking about something that was literally going to change the course of human history. Verse 32, Peter and his companion were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Look at the next statement. In the NIV, it's a parenthetical statement. He didn't know what he was saying. Translation, he didn't know what he was talking about. That's familiar territory for Peter, isn't it? He didn't know what he was talking about. And while he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." What does that remind you of? Yeah, the baptism experience, right? When God speaks directly. Verse 36, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. And the disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Luke tells a very spectacular story about Peter and his companions, how they were sleeping, but they woke up and they saw this amazing thing unfold in front of them. And then Peter, never at a loss for words, says, "Master, it's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, three dwelling places up here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And the implication is, hey, we'll just stay here. We'll just camp out. It'll be great. But Scripture also tells us, he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't know what he was talking about. That was familiar territory, again, for Peter. You know, as a true extrovert, and I relate to him, he didn't know what he thought until he heard himself say it. He had no idea what he was talking about. And no doubt sometimes, as I often have, I wish I hadn't said that out loud. Why didn't somebody stop me? You know? The New International deals with it by putting in a parenthesis. I guess it's almost like a scriptural apology, you know. He didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know what he was saying, you know. And we say childish things. We say foolish things. Children say crazy things. Things like, "There's a monster underneath my bed, Daddy." Really? There's a monster under there? Or, "Diane and I are getting married." Never mind, you're in the second grade, you know. But it's not just children. It's not just Peter that say foolish things. It's us. We say childish things like, "Do you know what he or she said?
Did you see where they were? Did you see who they were talking to? I think we need to spread the word as a prayer request, of course. Yeah, tell everyone. We say foolish things. One of my unfavorite foolish things I hear people say is that God doesn't love you. If we don't agree with someone, or they don't look like us, or they don't talk like us, or they don't act like us, we say God doesn't love them. That's one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard, most ignorant things I've ever heard in my life. Something Peter said also is that, Master, it's good for us to be here. And I can relate to that. And I agree with him on that. It's good to be here. He was in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He knew something super spectacular, spiritual was going on. And he said, man, it's good to be here. I hope you said that when you walked into church this morning. Man, it's good to be here. I wish I could stay here all day. We don't have food though, do we? All right, it's Baptist thing. We can't stay all day. We got to go somewhere and get food. It's good to be here. It's good to be here, God. Peter wanted to stay where he was comfortable and everything was good. You know, and in Peter, we see this truth about us, you know. We kind of want God to cater to us, don't we? We acknowledge with our head, oh yes, he's a God of everyone. Yeah, okay, we acknowledge that, but we kind of want him to look like us and talk like us and cater to us, don't we? We want our goals to be fulfilled, our ideas, our beliefs to be confirmed by him. So let's be honest, at the depth of our souls then, we really kind of want what's best for us. Our families, our lifestyle, our bank account, our political party, our school. So to a degree, adults really aren't that different than children. We're kind of selfish, aren't we? Luke says that the next day, Jesus and the others came down the mountain. This is extra biblical. It doesn't say it. But just kind of knowing Peter and knowing what is said, I bet you he kind of lobbied for them to stay there. Jesus, can we just stay here? Why do we have to go back down into that mixed up hurting world? Why do we have to go back down there? Why can't we just stay up here? It's good to be here. Why can't we stay here? You know, it's kind of like getting on the bus after a retreat for the youth. It's Ridgecrest. You know, you're up and you're a mountaintop retreat and it's a wonderful experience. You're on this spiritual high, and then you get on the bus, and about Morganton, you realize, gosh, we're headed back to Winston-Salem. I got to go to school tomorrow. And you go, yeah. Or it's like that time in your life, maybe as an adult, that you had a retreat, a spiritual retreat through church or family or whatever the circumstances is, and as you're driving home, it begins to flood back on you the stuff that you thought you had shed as you were going on your retreat. It kind of jumps back on you and it starts to weigh you down. Maybe it's like going to work after a particularly meaningful worship service on Sunday. And you go, how am I going to make that apply? How am I going to live that out? How am I going to keep this spiritual high going? You see, we want to stay in the cozy, in the supportive environment of the spiritual highs. We want to stay protected because normal life is too messy and too complicated. God, can't we just stay here? And yet, Jesus chose to return to a broken, messed up world. And as he did that, he was showing his disciples something very important. And he was showing us. He was showing us what it is that he came here to do. Not to stay where everything's comfortable and good, but to show up in the lives of others to serve and to share God's love. That is what we are to do as followers of Jesus Christ. Grow up in order to show up. We grow up with this developed faith that leads us to show up with confidence, with a conviction, with a pervasive trust in God that touches our lives and the lives of other people with God's presence, with God's power. I confess, I struggle sometimes with my faith amid all the complexities of life, and I know all of us do. I get that. I understand that. Peter did the same thing. Peter did the same thing, but the one thing that he did was that he followed Jesus back down the mountain. Even though he probably wanted to stay up top, he knew that if Jesus wasn't there, he didn't want to be there. That even as messed up as life was, he wanted to be at Jesus' side. So he followed him back down the mountain. Regardless of his weakness, regardless of his past, regardless of insecurities, he didn't want to leave Jesus' side. He followed him back down the mountain. And in that relationship, his faith grew when he put his needs aside in order that others would be blessed. He showed up to that point, and because of his life and because of his faithfulness, the Christian church, the reason that we worship here today, is due in part because of Peter's faithfulness to preach the gospel to the world. So what God did for and through Peter is not only amazing, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to me, and it should be to all of us, because imagine what God can do through and to us, both personally as well as the body of Christ. God showed up in your life through someone else. Someone else began leading your faith journey. Others have contributed all along the way to your faith journey. Your faith grew over time and through the challenges and the joys of life. Mindful of all that Peter was able to do, I'm excited when I think about what God can do through us when we allow him to show up in our lives and we show up to live out our faith in our schools, in our marriage, where you work, where you socialize with your kids, everywhere else you go. Everywhere. Show up to speak a word of forgiveness to a person you've been avoiding. Show up to pray with your kids. Show up to pray with your friends. Show up in the hospital to someone who needs a smile and a laughter. Show up to give a coworker a compliment when they really need it. Show up to encourage a classmate when everybody else is running them down. All of these things, opportunities for us to grow up, to show up in living out our faith. My prayer for us this week is that God would make it just as clear as night and day when he has opportunities for us to minister, and that we would be faithful to the task. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray for your help because we know we've taken on a challenge, and as weak people, as human beings who have a tendency to be a little bit selfish, Father, we thank you that you place other people in our lives to support us and encourage us at our greatest points of weakness and hurt. We pray that we would be that kind of person as well. Loving you, loving people, and giving all the glory for everything we say and do to you. We pray that our words and our actions would be worthy of you and would bring glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the day. Don't put it off. We'll talk about it. I'll be here at the front as we sing in just a moment. If you don't want to come down here this morning, call me this week. We'll get together, maybe have Coca-Cola or something to drink and kind of talk about it and work on it a little bit. If you are a believer and you say, man, maybe I haven't been faithful. Maybe I'm not living it out like I need to. This is a great time. Just as we sing, the hymn, it lends itself toward a recommitment of who you are in Christ. Just take a few moments, talk to him. Talk to the Father and say, Father, strengthen me. Forgive me where I failed you. Strengthen me for the journey. He'll be faithful. If you're here and you say, well, I really would like to be a part of this church, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Following the benediction and the response, I invite you to encourage one another, speak a word of kindness and encouragement to each other as you leave. Be sure and greet our guest and offer encouragement to them as well. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a chance to be together as your children, to worship you, to love you, to encourage and love one another. Be with us as we go from here. Keep us safe in our journey. But Father, help us not to play it safe. As we encounter people, Father, allow us to minister to them in radical ways, ways that reflect your love and your glory, your power, not ours. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.